This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by FarmPaint.com.
It's Con Runner. Con Runner and Florent Giroux clear to the finish of the Louisiana Derby. Con Runner wins going away.
Lani gets to U Change. Polar River still three quarters of a length away. Lani in front. It's Japan's Derby.
Also sponsored by Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, Double Diamond Farm, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainesway, Gulfstream Park, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Kirkwood Stables, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, the New York Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, RacehorseDraft.com, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Sunrise Stallions, Tony's of Lexington, the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
More Spirit confidently handled, gets a left-handed reminder now, and he's trying to get them. Here he comes. And More Spirit is progressing very nicely under Gary Stevens as he takes care of business with plenty left in the tank.
Creator of sudden breaking news. Creator's almost there. It's Ricardo Santana Jr. It's Creator to win the Arkansas Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone. Happy Preakness Day. Welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, alongside my usual entry mate. You know him as Pope Jude, the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. And we are positioned high above the finish line at Old Hilltop Pimlico Racecourse here in Baltimore. It is a gray, rainy start to this Preakness Day. We are still some 10 hours, 12 minutes, and 52 seconds away from the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. JT, the gates will open here at 8:30. Didn't see the long lines that we're used to seeing as we drove in here this morning. Typically, fans are lined up waiting to get in. But with the weather forecast here today, which is somewhat ominous, and the rain already falling here in Baltimore, not the interest, I think, from people getting out here super early like we would normally see.
Yeah, I think most people, myself included, would be interested in pulling the covers up and, cup of coffee, nice, warm, dry, home, maybe light a fire. It's really not a very pretty day here in Baltimore, unfortunately. I really don't like it when big races are run on off tracks, but we're here. This is what's happening, and we got to deal with it. As Chichi Rodriguez once said, God makes the day, and I live through it. And that's the way it is. You got to take them as they come.
Nick Zito always saying this is the greatest game played outdoors, and because it is outdoors, we do run it on a sloppy track sometimes, and that's likely to be the case later today. Don't see any chance that we're going to have any kind of a fast track because the rain is only expected to intensify as we make our way throughout the afternoon. You remember last year, we sat here and watched American Pharoah splash the victory right after that deluge hit Pimlico right before the race. This will only be it'd be the first time we've had consecutive Preakness Stakes run on an off track since going back to the 1950s. So it's been a while.
Yeah, my whole life.
Well before Barron. Twenty years BB
yes.
Before Barron.
But the track actually had some moisture in it yesterday. It was a fast track, but it was still moisture laden. That helps when they go to seal it because the moisture in the track helps make it kind of cement-like. So I imagine we'll have a nice firm base, and it'll depend on how much rain we get, how sloppy it gets, and how much the horses chew it up in the course of the afternoon. Of course, turf racing, always in question. We don't know how many races may be run on the turf, if any or all or partial. So we'll have to see how that happens down the road too. But it's not a very nice day, and there literally is nobody stirring around Pimlico. Everybody, including the people that work here, are mostly undercover.
Well, how about this fact, my friend? This is the ninth consecutive year that you and I have opened this program from this very same rustic broadcast booth above the finish line here at Old Hilltop.
Rustic, I love it.
Yeah, well, and we're just thankful that so far the roof seems to be holding and there is no rain coming through, because typically when it does get wet here in this broadcast booth, you'll see rain kind of dripping down through the ceiling, but nothing yet.
I wonder if the person that bought that styrofoam cooler over 10 years ago would even think that the lid is still protecting the old air conditioning vent in this broadcast booth.
Where is it?
Right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a landmark.
It's all part of it. We should tweet that out. We should actually send a picture out since we're talking about it. Speaking of Twitter, we're going to have a poll question out there for you on this Preakness morning. You can go at HRRN on Twitter. If you want to go ahead and weigh in via email, if you don't have Twitter, you can do that too. You can email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net. The poll question is, who are you taking in the Preakness today? We're going to give you three choices. You can have Kentucky Derby winner Nyquist, you can have Kentucky Derby winner or Kentucky Derby runner-up Exaggerator, or you can have everybody else. We'll give you the field. So it's Nyquist, Exaggerator, or the field. Who you got?
Are you asking me?
Well, yeah, okay. Who you got?
I'm sticking.
I don't know
with
if
Nyquist.
I was asking you or HRN Nation,
I'm
but I'll ask you.
I'm sticking with Nyquist. He's the champ until somebody beats him.
8-0. You have to get past him. He's the horse to beat here today, obviously, right? 3-5 on the morning line. He's the Derby winner. He's the juvenile champion. He is what the one to beat. A lot of people have said, okay, well, because it is a wet track, does that kind of maybe give Exaggerator a bit more of an edge and move him just a little bit closer to Nyquist?
I think that's true. I think he's a mud freak. He's a horse that's always run well in the mud. But you know, Nyquist can handle an off-track as well, so I think it's maybe a narrowing, but who knows?
How sick of Nyquist is trainer Keith DeSormo?
Oh, probably, very.
He is probably so tired of seeing Nyquist show up in all these races that he's running in, because you go back to last year, right, and he had Swipe, very, very talented 2-year-old, kept finishing second to Nyquist. As a matter of fact, he did it in 4 consecutive races last year for Keith DeSormo. Then he comes back with Exaggerator this year, and Exaggerator is 0-2 against Nyquist.
Yeah, it's tough, but I think that's a tribute to Nyquist. You know, I mean, both of those horses that Keith trains are very talented horses. Exaggerator is a beautiful horse, and he can really run. But Nyquist just seems to be able to beat all comers and handle any situation that befalls him, and you know, he's a tough horse to get by when you handicap the race. Now, we know they don't run races on paper and all of that, but he's a formidable foe, that's for sure.
3 horses returning from the Kentucky Derby 2 weeks ago, with Nyquist, Exaggerator, and ninth place finisher Lonnie, who was somewhat of a mystery horse at Churchill Downs. He remains that way here today. A lot of people thinking, well, we haven't seen the best of Lonnie yet, and he ran an okay race at Churchill. Maybe he's a horse that could upset the apple cart here today, but he really has to move forward leaps and bounds.
Yeah, I'm a little puzzled by the enthusiasm for Lonnie.
And we've heard that from a few people,
yeah,
haven't we?
I mean, knowledgeable people.
Yeah.
You know, oh, the horse ran ninth in the Derby. Whoop-de-doo. You don't get a check. All you get is hot and dirty. I mean, I don't understand why all of a sudden Lonnie has a chance. I mean, I guess they figure, well, he ran ninth in a 20-horse field, so maybe he'll run fifth in a 12-horse field or 11-horse field. You know, I don't know.
What about the 8 newcomers? I mean, you have to go back to Rachel Alexandra in 2009 to find the last horse not to run in the Derby to win the Preakness. But Rachel had that recency edge. She didn't have a long layoff because she had just come out of that powerhouse performance, the record performance in winning the Kentucky Oaks a couple of weeks before.
Yeah, I'm not a huge trend guy, really, when it comes to handicapping. But you have to have the innate ability to win the race. And maybe you could make a case for Stradivari because he's got some ability. We don't know where that ability is going to stop. He has a high ceiling. He's well-bred. He has great connections. So he's probably the most likely upsetter of the top two. I mean, on paper, the race looks like Nyquist and Exaggerator by many, and then it's a matter of who's going to be third. I think the other horse that has a legitimate chance of being in the money is Cherry Wine. Cherry Wine is a finisher. The pace is going to be fast. You know, he can handle an off track. He He's got a good trainer. Dale Roman's just won the Black Eyed Susan yesterday.
Yeah, congrats to Dale, by the way. What a performance.
Yeah, that was a great run by that filly. So, I think Cherry Wine, if you're fishing around for a long shot or some horse to throw in a try or a super, I think he's a legit contender. He's been running well since he got sick. You know, he was a little bit derailed off the Triple Crown Trail because of a fever. But now he's had a couple of races to get ready. He should run his best race today, and he's got a good pace scenario. So I think he's a horse that, has a legitimate chance at being, an upset or certainly a horse for a trifecta or a super.
All right. Don't forget, our coverage this afternoon begins at 2 o'clock Eastern. We'll bring you live coverage of the stakes races on the Preakness Day undercard before segueing into coverage of the 141st Preakness. The only place you'll hear the Preakness on radio is right here with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That coverage, though, in partnership with our friends at NBC Sports and Westwood One, and roughly 180 affiliates around the country joining us, including the folks here on SiriusXM. All of that coverage is going to be on SiriusXM 93. Of course, you can listen worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. If you go to our website, there is a listing of every single terrestrial affiliate on there, so you can find a station near you and make sure you join us. No reason not to listen to us, and we'll be on the air a lot today and can't wait to bring you that coverage of the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. Now, in terms of what's coming up here this morning, boy, is it going to be busy. We are going to be joined by Terry Finley right around 8:35 Eastern time. Terry, of course, with West Point Thoroughbreds. They bring back their Grade 1 winner, Ring Weekend, in today's Dixie Stakes, which is the race preceding the Preakness. And he, of course, a 5-year-old gelded son of Tappet. We're going to look forward to visiting with Terry later in the first half of the program. Then in the second half, 9 o'clock Eastern, whatever you do, make sure you are in front of your radio to listen to this interview at 9 o'clock Eastern. It's about 22 minutes long. And, JT, this has never happened before. Trainer Doug O'Neill, owner J. Paul Redham, and jockey Mario Gutierrez sat down with us in the very same room the other day. In all the years that they've been doing this and all the success that they've had, even with two Kentucky Derby winners, they've never sat down for an interview together. Well, you were kind enough to reach out to Doug and help set that up. I sat down with all three of them, and it was outstanding. So people want to make sure that they tune in for that. They were great.
Yeah, it was an awesome interview. You did a great job, and it's so refreshing to hear them together, and very interesting and very cool, and everybody's going to enjoy it. I hope everybody can stay tuned for that at 9 o'clock because it's really worth listening to.
All right, following that interview, you'll hear from Max Hodge from Phasic Tipton around 9:30 Eastern as we talk about the Phasic Tipton Mid-Atlantic 2-year-old and training sale, which kicks off next week. And then Johnny D from Express Bet will join us at the end of the program to handicap the Preakness. That's around 9:48 Eastern. So it's a very, very busy show. Don't forget to go to @HRN on Twitter and weigh in on our poll question. You can do that throughout the program, and we will try to pass along those results as well. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at FarmPaint.com. That's FarmPaint.com.
Adina Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man was a precocious 2-year-old, finishing runner-up in both the Grade 2 Nashua and Grade 2 Remsen, despite being a June 15th foal. As a 3-year-old, Mucho Macho Man displayed his classic ability with an impressive win in the Grade 2 Risen Star before a game third-place finish in the Kentucky Derby. As an older horse, Mucho Macho Man dominated his competition with Grade 1 wins in the Awesome Again, Suburban, Gulfstream Park Handicap, and Breeders' Cup Classic.
Mucho Macho Man and Gary Stevens as they take the Grade 1 Awesome Again in effortless fashion.
Mucho Macho Man wins the 126 Suburban.
And Mucho Macho Man has won the Gulfstream Park Handicap.
Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
An earner of $5.6 million, Mucho Macho Man's first foals arrived this spring. Learn more by visiting adinastallions.com.
A multiple graded stakes winner and earner of more than $1 million. AlterNation reeled off four consecutive stakes victories.
AlterNation just far too much class for this field.
AlterNation running a powerful race here.
Cannot match stride with AlterNation.
And it's a photo AlterNation.
Great breeding from a family of successful sires, grand appearance, and brilliance on the racetrack. AlterNation at Pin Oak Stud.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit NicholsonInsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
Power.
To honor and serve. He's the real deal here.
Passion.
To honor and serve is the winner of the Cigar Mile.
Performance.
To honor and serve would not let Mucho Macho Man buy.
Gainesway Stallion to honor and serve. Bernardini's Grade 1 millionaire and top 10 yearling sire with his first crop in 2015. To honor and serve yearlings included $450,000 and $220,000 colts at Phasic Tipton Saratoga and the session-topping $300,000 filly at the Phasic Tipton New York bred sale in August. Keeneland September yearlings by To Honor and Serve were topped by $250,000, $195,000, and $160,000 colts and a $150,000 filly. To Honor and Serve is Bernardini's only multiple graded stakes winner at 2, 3, and 4, defeating Breeders' Cup Classic winner Mucho Macho Man three times in four meetings, all in graded stakes. To Honor and Serve, standing at Gainesway.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And they come to the final furlong. Exaggerator is closing in. Nyquist to catch with a 16th to go. Gunrunner, Exaggerator on the outside. Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby. Exaggerator was second, and then a photo for third among sudden breaking news. And Gunrunner, and the final time was swift. 2 minutes, 1.31 seconds, set by a brilliant Nyquist.
Well, Nyquist looking to go on and win the middle jewel of racing's Triple Crown and hopefully head off to New York 3 weeks from today for an opportunity to pull off a consecutive Triple Crown in the sport of thoroughbred racing. Now, keep in mind, you have to go back to Seattle Slew and Affirmed in 1977 and 78 to find the only time in history that we've had back-to-back Triple Crown winners. Nyquist, nobody's been good enough to beat him yet. We'll see if somebody is later today. Post time for the Preakness set for right around 6:45 Eastern, probably going to go at 6:50, and you're going to hear it right here with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One. Baron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Fell, back with you at Old Top, getting set for all of that Preakness coverage this afternoon. Jeff Bloom is going to be part of that coverage, as he was for Kentucky Derby and has been on the network here for the past, couple of years. And he is with us now in our booth. What's up, man?
It's good to be here.
Happy Preakness Day.
Thank you, sir. Happy Preakness Day to you. A little bit different weather than it was yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday for Black-Eyed Susan Day. How about that? We're driving back to the hotel last night after we left here, after doing the show. It's about 7 o'clock Eastern time, and it is 75 degrees, beautiful, just calm, gorgeous. Wake up this morning, it's 55 and raining and only supposed to get worse.
Yes.
You're right.
I concur. That's it?
I don't know what we're supposed to say to that.
We've covered
the weather ad nauseum. Let's just say that it's...
It's wet.
Wet.
I've got my raincoat.
Yes.
Right. It's all good.
Right. Good. Yeah. Good. All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Glad I could join you.
You got out of bed for that.
You went out and bought new boots. They look
like
work boots that I used to wear in the 80s, dude.
I started out looking for fashionable footwear, and then as I realized that there wasn't going to be a size that fit
me, Claire Novak?
It became apparent that fashion was going to have to go out the window, and whatever size fit was going to work. So this
Just
is what we ended up with.
Jeff Bloom, racing girls.
That's right. That's right.
Jeff is going to be down trackside here today, roaming the track, roaming the winner's circle area. He's going to be doing the walkover with the connections, and so yeah, you have to have something on your feet that's not going to get soaking wet here. I don't even know if that's going to help you. But
I just didn't want to get stuck, like put my foot down and get stuck in a mud hole. So I ended up with both fashion and functionality, so I think we'll be okay out there this afternoon.
Well, listen, I have been dying to talk to you about this on the show for a couple of months now since you and I put this thing together. But you were kind enough to come to me and say, hey, what do you think of partnering on a horse with Bloom Racing, which, of course, you now retired jockey, now operate Bloom Racing. And so you said, I've got this horse I think would be a great horse. And I said, well, let's do it. Let's give it a shot. And I want to make this a horse that HRN Nation can follow. This will be the horse of HRN and the horse of Bloom Racing. His name is Budokan, right?
It is.
And he is going to work this morning at Santa Anita. He's a two-year-old by Hardspun out of Learfan, or Vicari.
Who's a Learfan mare, yes.
Yeah. And going to make his third work later today at Santa Anita for trainer Jerry Hollendorfer. And this is a horse that right now, I know it's early, but he's showing all kinds of ability.
The hype is high, yeah. This is actually will be his third official work. He had a number of workouts at the farm in Ocala before shipping out to California. But yeah, this colt has been nothing short of impressive in terms of just his overall maturity, both mental and physical. And he's really come along without missing a beat. And extremely excited about him, and of course Jerry Hollendorfer, he knows how to win some races.
Budokan. Budokan. What's it mean?
Well, I'll start off by saying we wanted to have a name that was worthy of a Kentucky Derby type horse, something powerful, something different, interesting, and befitting a horse that has that sort of potential. And we're big fans and friends of the band Cheap Trick, who just recently got inducted into the Hall of Fame. And so when they played at the Budokan in Japan, that concert and that release of the Live at Budokan essentially put them on the map. It also created a mecca, if you will, for the place itself in Japan for any and all musical groups. That was sort of a launching pad to really get that explosion that they were looking for. So that's where the name comes from.
Yeah, that's cool. What was it about this horse that really jumped out to you when you saw him? And by the way, he comes out of the Gainsway consignment. So, you know, they've sold a lot of really good horses.
Yeah, so I'll tell you, I had been looking to bring a Hardspun into our program for quite some time. They're not the easiest horses to buy. They can be rather pricey. And, you know, I scour the September Keeneland sale. There's a lot of horses there to look at. And, you know, I went over to the Gainsway consignment and looked at a number of horses. And this horse in particular, just his physical, he just stood out. I mean, he had all the attributes that you look for in a horse, the way he was put together. He looked like, you know, you sort of try to extrapolate how they're going to grow into themselves. And he had all the makings. He had all the check boxes for me. And fortunately, this horse sold very early in the book. So oftentimes what happens is a lot of people are still out there looking at horses. So I think had he sold later in the day, he would have been a very difficult horse to buy. He's out of a grade one winning mare. So he's got a very legitimate black type page. And as I mentioned, Hardspun. And so he's just a big strapping bay colt that's really leaps and bounds ahead of a lot of young horses when you see them out there.
Jude, you're over there on your phone. Were you putting it in your stable mail?
Yeah.
Look, we want to ask everybody to do that, right? Because this is going to be a horse the HRN Nation is going to be able to follow. That's the whole point of getting involved with this horse with Jeff and Bloom Racing. So make sure you put him in your stable mail. We'll be tweeting out. We have some pictures. We'll tweet them out here this morning for you at HRN on Twitter. You can kind of see what our horse looks like and follow him all the way along. What's the goal? Where do we want to get him started?
Yeah, you know, so we never rush these horses, but really he hasn't missed a beat. So ideally what will happen is we'll get a race into him before we get into the big summer meet at Del Mar. And, of course, there's a couple of big races to point for there, you know, if he's up to the task. So ideally we're about a month and a half away probably from a debut with this horse. He's already essentially done all of his gate work already. And so he's very advanced, and we'll just make sure he has a good foundation under him. So ideally, like I said, sometime toward the latter part of next month, we'd get a race into him and then come into the Del Mar meet with a race under our belt.
Do you think he's going to be a turf horse, a distance horse? What's the general feeling you have for his confirmation and
he just told you he's going to win the Kentucky Derby.
Well,
you know, he's
mile and a quarter on the dirt. That's his best distance.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, his best distance is in between a mile and a quarter and a mile and a half.
Susan already this morning.
He looks the part of being absolutely a two-turn horse. He's fast, but he's not, you know, he's not a sprinter. He's just a big two-turny, big kind of scopey type horse who's still growing. So, you know, he might be the kind of horse where you need a race or two to kind of get him going. You sprint him once or twice before you stretch him out. But there's no question he's a two-turn horse the way he's put together.
With Hardspun, you can go either way, dirt or turf. You know, some of the Hardspuns run really good on the grass, too.
So. Yeah, yeah, a lot of versatility there. And I've been a big Hardspun fan for quite a while. And like I said, you know, I've tried to buy some in the past, and it's not always so easy when they look right.
He's an interesting horse because he's a lot of people's, like favorite horse. He's not like a household name like American Pharoah or whatever, but he's a horse that a lot of people really liked when he was racing, and he was very popular the first couple of years he went to stud.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hard to get to him when we were breeding mares at Chestnut Farm at the time, and we bred a mare to him. But, you had to really talk your way in. You couldn't just, like, call up and get a season.
Right.
So he's a very popular horse.
Yeah, and he's definitely popular at the sales as well. You know, especially if one ends up going to the two-year-old sales and they turn out right, they can be pretty pricey.
All right, the name of the horse is Budokan, Budokan. He is going to be a horse you can follow on our social media pages. We'll keep you updated on this show and all of our shows as to when he's going to be working, when he's going to run. Again, he's working this morning for Jerry Hollendorfer at Santa Anita. Last time out, he worked 3 furlongs, 35.60. I want to see 34.60 today. Let's keep getting better, man.
You know, interestingly enough, we didn't want him to go that fast, you know, because he's, you know, it's too early.
Have you picked out a rider yet?
Well, I didn't. I guess I'll make
Mike
the announcement
Smith.
Here.
I want Mike Smith.
I'll make the announcement here.
You're
on the Horse Racing
retirement.
Radio Network. This is the news that Mike Pena wants to hear, that Jeff Bloom's coming out of retirement just to ride his horse. Jerry Hollendorfer doesn't know it yet.
I want out of this partnership immediately. You did beat Angel Cordero, though, didn't you?
I did beat Angel Cordero one time.
He didn't
one
like
time,
that too
One
much.
Time out of 12,948 starts.
It was an exhibition race. The Angel was supposed to win. It was for fun.
It was a real race. A real race. Official wagering and everything.
That's good. I'm glad you beat him.
Did you talk smack afterwards?
I'm still talking smack. Come on, Mike.
Get in the Hall of Fame. Come on, man.
Well, I'm still holding out. You know, there's still hope.
Someday.
Maybe I'll get there with this particular horse,
after
right?
After you win the Triple Crown.
After Budokan wins the Triple Crown. That's right.
All right, brother. I appreciate it. Happy Preakness. We'll catch up with you this afternoon on the coverage.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right. And, of course, you can check out bloomracing.com if you want to learn more about being involved with Jeff and his team. They do a phenomenal job. Bloomracing.com. All right, going to go ahead and get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment. We'll come back. Jude and I are going to visit with Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds on the other side of this. And don't forget, 9 o'clock Eastern, our one-on-three, really, sit-down interview with Doug O'Neill, J. Paul Redham, and Mario Gutierrez. It is tremendous. They were great, and you want to catch that at 9 o'clock Eastern. We're back with more right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On an early June day in 1945, a set of circumstances was culminated and climaxed by a win in the Kentucky Derby. In 1943, just before the opening of the very first yearling sale ever held at Keeneland, a contractor from Alabama was lolling about the lobby of Lexington, Kentucky's Hotel Lafayette. He met a fellow contractor from Tennessee who asked what he was doing there. The tall Alabaman, Mr. Fred C. Hooper, said, quote, "I thought I'd buy a couple of yearlings and find out what this racehorse business is all about." His friend, J. Warfield Rogers of Memphis, Tennessee, had been racing and breeding for some time and, of course, offered his assistance. Hooper asked if Rogers knew of a good trainer. Mr. Rogers said indeed he did, and Hooper then asked if he could be introduced to him. Rogers and Hooper met at the sale the next day, and as Ivan Park strolled by, Rogers indicated that he was one of the trainers he would certainly recommend. The two were introduced and spent the rest of the day together, with no agreement reached between them, looking at yearlings going into the auction arena, but neither bidding nor buying. They knew absolutely nothing of each other, but took the pains to carefully check each other out to mutual satisfaction, I might add, and the next afternoon, August 11, 1943, they sat together at the sale pavilion and patiently waited until the 34th yearling was led into the sales arena. Hooper jumped into the action and quietly and determinedly bid to $10,200, for which he got the colt in which he was interested. He was now the owner of a high-priced thoroughbred. That youngster was put in the hands of former riding great Ivan Park to train, and on June 9, 1945, 2 years later, the casual introduction came to its climax. It was Derby Day in Louisville. 70,000 fans on hand neath the hallowed Twin Spires to watch the 71st run for the Roses on a very muddy racetrack. Hooper's horse was installed, too, in the crowded old-fashioned paddock at Churchill, and Hooper and Park stood in front of it greeting well-wishers as their horse approached. The son of Sir Galahad III had his front legs bandaged, and the padding covered an extraordinarily thick padding of cotton, which stretched from pastern to just above the knee. As he passed bystanders, there was a strong odor of medication. Jeep, owned by Colonel C.V. Whitney, was in stall 3, and Colonel Whitney, nattily attired in his army uniform, bowed to Mr. Hooper by a way of exchanging the social amenities of the moment. Ivor Balding, manager of the Whitney farm, exchanged a few pleasantries with Mr. Hooper as well. Tommy Piat visited every stall and spoke to every owner and trainer. At stall 7, Piat chatted with Warren Wright, who had pot of luck in the field. Wright congratulated Piat on come and goes winning the Kentucky Oaks. Ben Jones, Wright's trainer, came up and said, quote, "If we can beat the Hooper colt, we can win it. I don't think we can. His work the other day was marvelous, and he didn't even draw a deep breath," end of quote. The order from the paddock judge came to saddle up. Bandages were removed from Hooper's horse, revealing blister scars on the ankles, and the strong smell of medication was unmistakable. The ankles looked good, but they had obviously been sweated. Trainer Ivan Park's hands were trembling while saddling the horse, Mr. Hooper standing calmly with arms crossed and watching his stalwart. "Riders up," came the call, and the rest, my friends, is history. On that muddy racetrack with 70,000 howling fans on hand, on June 9, 1945, Eddie Arcaro guided that horse to an uncontested wire-to-wire six-length win in rather easy fashion. That horse, the very first purchased by Fred C. Hooper, trained by Ivan Park, had fulfilled a dream. That thoroughbred, my friends, was Hoop Jr., and his owner's and trainer's story provide, indeed, a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience. On Saturday, June 4th, Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse is proud to present the fourth running of the $500,000 Grade 3 Penn Mile. Live racing action starts at 6 p.m. Eastern with an all-stakes pick four featuring the Pennsylvania Governor's Cup, the Penn Oaks, the Mountain View Stakes, and it's all anchored by the Penn Mile. Again, that's Saturday, June 6th at 6 p.m. Eastern at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse.
Penn Oaks Studs, Broken Vow, ranks among the top sires in North America every year. Runners by this outstanding son of Unbridled have earned nearly $54 million and won major stakes on all surfaces from coast to coast. Sought after in the sales ring and hard to catch on the track, Broken Vow consistently has success at the highest level. Broken Vow at Penn Oaks Stud.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
What is it about Tony's Steaks and Seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, this is steak nirvana. Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair strips. FlairStrips.com.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Past the 3/8 they go, and Holy Loot along the inside. Mr. Commons between horses on the far side. Dimension 3 in a line. Now here's Winning Prize going well. Can Winning Prize find somewhere to run? Blue Cap at the rail. Winning Prize nowhere to go. Silentio's in there. Ring Weekend. Summer Front joins the fray too. Wide open. Tsar Approval down the center of the track. Here's Summer Front. Summer Front grabs the lead and a late run now down the extreme outside from Ring Weekend. Ring Weekend coming resolutely. Ring Weekend, Summer Front. Ring Weekend gonna win it. Ring Weekend and Drayden Van Dyke up to win the Kilroe. Ring Weekend won it. Second will be Summer Front. Maybe Home Run Kitten ran on third.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum at rainy Pimlico Racecourse here in Baltimore, getting set for the 141st running of the Preakness Stakes. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, high above the finish line in our old and historic broadcast booth. How about that?
Yeah, I would say that's probably the case. I
mean, how long do you think this thing's been here?
You think of some of the guys that have broadcast the Preakness, you know, Jim McKay, Frank Wright, those guys. I mean,
yeah,
you know, a lot of people gone through this booth and the one next door.
I wonder if this is where they broadcast the Seabiscuit race here at the Match race here at Pimlico.
I don't know. It's probably been here that long.
Yeah. So much of Pimlico is old and rustic. And to me, a lot of people don't like that. I think it's cool. I think it's one of those. It's like, you know, walking into Wrigley Field or Fenway, right? It's like that kind of a feel to it.
Yeah, it is cool. There's no question about it. And as you walk through this cavernous grandstand and you see a lot of the old betting windows, and you know, if you're a fan of racing and a little bit of a racing historian, you've seen old pictures of Pimlico in its heyday, and you know, it's cool. I kind of like these types of racetracks. We went down to Hialeah this year and
that
wandered
was cool.
Around there. What
beautiful.
A beautiful place that is, and you know, a lot of history and a lot of the old things are still there, and you know, they're running quarter horse races there, but man, would it be nice to get some thoroughbreds back there.
Don't forget, you can weigh in on our poll question at HRRN on Twitter, or you can email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net. We asked you, who's going to win the Preakness? Is it going to be Nyquist, Exaggerator, or the field? You have three choices. Go ahead and weigh in now. And currently, Nyquist, a runaway winner, 74% saying it's Nyquist, 16% saying Exaggerator, and only 10% weighing in on the rest of the field. So all other nine runners not getting a lot of respect in here. You heard the rejoin clip of Ring Weekend winning the Frank Kilroe Mile. That was back in March of last year at Santa Anita. Trevor Denman had the call. Ring Weekend is going to be in action later today in the Grade 2 Dixie, which is the race preceding the Preakness, another race you're going to hear live with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Of course, Ring Weekend, owned by our good friends Terry Finley and West Point Thoroughbreds, and Terry joins us now. Hey, Terry, how about this? You can have Ring Weekend or the field in the Dixie. Who you got?
I got to go with the ring now.
Yeah, that was a no-brainer.
Always good to be with you, Jude and Mike, and today they graduate up at West Point, so all the cadets are becoming a second lieutenant, so I'll take Ring Weekend for the win today.
Wow, well said. That's great. Boy, what a tie-in that would be, huh, Terry?
Yes, without a doubt. So he's a neat horse, and I didn't think it was, 15 months already. You know, he ran so well out there, and he had a chronic foot problem, but Grand Motion and his team, obviously, they've done a great job, and we're really, really excited to see him back under in the starting gate today.
Terry, we mentioned the weather here, and the main track is going to be sloppy. I don't think there's any doubt about that, which also means the turf course is going to be a bit on the softer side. Tell me about that, and in particular, how that might play into this race with a horse like Ring Weekend.
Well, Mike, I think everybody's probably concerned about it, right? I mean, they're going to run, six or seven on the turf today. So, by the end of the day, they will have run about 100 horses on that course. So, we're thinking about it. And if it gets too bad, obviously we're going to give strong consideration to coming out of there. But we did win on the soft going in the Hill Prince last fall or a fall ago. And Belmont Park when he's a three-year-old. So, that gives us a little bit of a comfort. But, obviously you don't want to have a bad experience our first time off the bench. And we know that it's a long year, and we'd love to, have a crack this fall to get back to the Breeders' Cup. So we'll monitor all day. I'm sure I'll talk to Graham a couple times between now and about 3 o'clock. But I don't know. I have a feeling we're going to be okay. Although I do think there'll be a couple scratches out of there, as well as the rest of the turf races today.
Yeah, there may be some other turf races that come off. They may choose to run the stakes races on the turf and take the other ones off. I don't know what the racing department's thinking, but I think they have to be prudent with the grass course.
Yeah, I do too, Judah. And it's such a shame. And I was talking to Dale Romans after his win in the Black Eyed Susan. I was joking with him. I left him at about 10 o'clock, and he walked down the shed row, and he was limping a little bit. I see him in the winner's circle, the Black Eyed Susan, and he walked up those steps as spry as a guy could walk up. So, he was in good spirits. But, we talked about that, and just one of those things. I mean, they work so hard, and they do such a good job on the hospitality side, and it's a wonderful card today. It's just a shame that, the weather is going to have an effect to some extent on the biggest day of racing in Maryland. But that's the way it goes, and we can't really impact it at all, and it's out of our control, so we'll do the best we can.
Well, Terry, your trainer, Graham Motion, is going to give a leg up to Hall of Famer John Velasquez in the Dixie this afternoon. And, boy, what a great fit that he is for just about any horse, but he's done very well on Ring Weekend as well.
That's right, Mike. We won the stake up at Saratoga, and Johnny does. You're right. He does fit this horse. And, I really think I said this to Johnny 2 weeks ago. He won a race for us up at Belmont, but I think he's riding as well as he's ever ridden. He doesn't ride as much as he did, but you talk about a cagey old vet. he's in the Hall of Fame. He's riding with a lot of confidence, and you know, I think he's really in a good spot in his career. And you know, it's great to go into a race like this with a Hall of Famer, and I think our trainer is going to be a Hall of Famer in the near future. So you know, that's a great feeling with a double barrel shotgun, so to speak.
Yeah, there's probably nobody better than Graham Motion at getting grass horses ready and ready off a layoff, and that telltale 7 furlong work that Graham telegraphs his winners with is in the form of Ring Weekend, April 16th at Palmetto's 123-3. That's a pretty nice 7/8, and looks like he's ready for whatever comes his way today.
Yeah, I agree. It's amazing to see those horses coming off the layoff, dude. You know, they're at Fair Hill, and they, you know, they're able to work on the turf, and they can train on the synthetic. And I mean, that's a great environment, especially for a horse like this, right? That's had its problems, but is a true blue turf horse. And, you know, after a 15 month break, you know, I think he's going to be fit enough, and in large part due to that facility up there. So we're big fans of Fair Hill. And obviously we're big fans of Grand Motion. He's done a great job, and he does it with class and a distinction. So, you know, they're the kind of people that we like to deal with in the business. And, you know, guys like Johnny and Graham are real credits to our industry, and they make us proud to be part of this great business.
You can see what he's done with my brother's filly, Miss Temple City. Same kind of deal. Came off a layoff, won a grade one, so...
You're going over to Ascot
confident.
Too. Now you're going to put the top hat on. I saw your brother. I saw your brother in the hotel lobby. I don't think he stopped smiling since that grade one at Keeneland. So, I mean, good for you guys. And that's a beautiful filly. And I know Kevin Plant. I don't know if he's going over to Ascot, but I'm sure Ascot will never be the same if Kevin Plank and his boys go over there. But you know, she's a good one. That's for sure.
Talking with Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Terry, there's a term in racing that we hear quite often where everybody's looking for what they call a Saturday horse. And West Point has been privileged enough to be part of so many Saturday horses, meaning you're running in the big races on the big days. And you've been here in the Preakness before. You were second in 2008 with Macho Again. What's it like to compete at this high of a level on this big of a stage?
Well, Mike, I can sum it up in a single word. It's cool. It really is. You know, you look forward to these days, and you know that the whole world, you know, the racing world, and in large part, you know, the people who tune in over the course of 5 weeks in the springtime to our business, you know that you're going to get a little piece of the coverage, and that in and of itself is cool. But, you know, it's great. You look at how excited the people are, the grooms and the hot walkers and the exercise riders. I think that's a really cool part of it. But the other thing is you see the riders, and even the Hall of Famers and the grizzly old vets, like they come out of the jocks room and you can see the spring in their step. You can see they've got the adrenaline pumping, and that really pumps everybody up. So, I mean, that's one of the things I take notice of on a big day like today. As you see those jocks as they walk down the steps, you know, for the Preakness or the Dixie, and they're bursting at the seams. I mean, that adrenaline is, I think, one of the cool parts of the big days. And it is. It's a lot of fun, and it is a privilege to be part of these days. And every once in a while you get lucky and you knock one out. But they're tough, you know, because you know everybody plans their year around big days like this. So, as it should be, right? They shouldn't give away a million or 250,000 or 100,000 in an easy way. So that's the great thing is you come here, you got to beat the best to be in the winner's circle. And, you know, that's what our business is all about, the competition and the intensity of the competition and of, you know, racing and, you know, getting it done on the racetrack.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot before we let you go, Terry. Nyquist, does he get it done later this afternoon?
I think I have a good feeling that he is going to get it done. But I got to give it – I mean, Dale Romans, he's a streaky guy. When he gets hot, he gets really hot. And I know he's got a quiet confidence about his horse, Cherry Wine. You know, we stood next to each other at Gulfstream when he won the A. Other Than was very impressive that day. And I know he's got that feeling about this horse. So I wouldn't mind an exacta box, you know, Cherry Wine and Nyquist.
Terry Finley, West Point Thoroughbreds. You can visit westpointtb.com. That's westpointtomboy.com to learn more about West Point Thoroughbreds and being involved. They do a great job. Terry, all the best, my friend. Good luck this afternoon in the Dixie, and we'll look for you in the winner's circle.
All right, you guys, enjoy your Preakness Day, please.
You do the same.
Will do.
All right, and congratulations to all those cadets at West Point as well. Very cool. Terry Finley here on HRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. And if you're not already doing so, head there now, because I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed in their products. I'm actually wearing my gold Embrace the Race tie today, black and gold, the colors of the Preakness, also the colors of the Horse Racing Radio Network and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so we went black and gold.
Really?
I didn't have any trouble finding anything in my closet that was black and gold. It's amazing.
No, you are the official Preakness man, courtesy of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to get to a break. We will come back with more. Actually, speaking of the Steelers, I have a funny story I'm going to tell you when I come back. Right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, the most expensive yearling from the great Pioneer of the Nile's debut crop and a top-class juvenile winning the Grade 2 Nashua before his memorable battle with Eclipse Champion Honor Code in the Remsen. At 3, Cairo Prince was simply sensational in the Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes, making him the early book favorite for the Kentucky Derby.
Cairo Prince has run away! Cairo Prince and Luis Saez with an emphatic win in the Holy Bull!
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince. Think about it. Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
A two-year-old debut winner.
Danza and Permanent Captain streaking under the line together, and Danza wins by a hard-fought half length.
A Grade 1 winning and classic place three-year-old.
Danza, in a sparkling performance, is making short work of the Arkansas Derby field. Danza is the boss as he wins by five.
Danza, new for 2016 at Spendthrift Farm. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Cavorting is taking off. At the eight bull, she's pulling away by three, by four, by five. A dazzling Cavorting in the Ruffian.
Cavorting earned yet another graded stakes victory, taking the Grade 2 Ruffian at Belmont for trainer Kieran McLaughlin last Saturday, topping an all-Bernardini Exacta, with Carumba finishing second. And Cavorting is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Bernardini, a proven sire of both the Superstar Racehorse and Sales Ring Smash, a Travers winner who sired Travers winners in his first two crops, and currently leads all sires by percentage of graded winners to starters in 2016, ahead of both Tappet and Uncle Mo. Cavorting is one of seven graded winners for her sire this year. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hey, this is Corey Lannery. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here comes Exaggerator, mounting a mighty bid around the outside as they turn for home in the million-dollar Santa Anita Derby, and Exaggerator has gone straight past them like they were tied to the rail. At the eighth pole, Exaggerator five lengths over Uncle Lino, More Spirit and Damsing Candy, but Exaggerator is finishing with conviction this afternoon. Exaggerator, an absolutely brilliant victory in the Santa Anita Derby over More Spirit, Uncle Lino, and Dancing Candy Fourth.
Michael Rona with the call. Exaggerator just annihilating the field in the Santa Anita Derby. He would come back, finish second to Nyquist in the Kentucky Derby 2 weeks ago. They get a rematch here at Old Hilltop this afternoon. Post time for the Preakness Stakes, 6:45 Eastern Time. You're going to hear it right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One. Visit our website, horseracingradio.net, for a complete listing of affiliates, all of the SiriusXM channel information, which, by the way, I'll tell you, it will be right here on SiriusXM 93, and, of course, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net, and you can access that stream on your computer, smartphone, or mobile device. Exaggerator, Jude. We have a couple of minutes before we have to get to the top of the hour break, and then that interview with Team Nyquist, Doug O'Neill, J. Paul Redham, and Mario Gutierrez, which people will not want to miss. Exaggerator really moved up in the slop at Santa Anita. Now, as Bob Baffert pointed out earlier this week, and you would know this better than anybody, that's a different kind of off track at Santa Anita than what he's going to run on here today, but he still proved the fact that he could handle an off track.
Yeah, well, I think he also ran on an off track in the Delta Jackpot, didn't he? Am I thinking of the right race?
Yeah, I think you might be right. Researching. Researching. Yeah, muddy track in the Delta Jackpot.
Yeah,
correct.
So yeah. That's two different racetracks. Right. I mean, you know, the expression in horse racing is there's 1,000 different kinds of mud, which is kind of true. Every track has its own mix of mud, and of course how much water's in the track and whatever. But he's a horse that you know, obviously doesn't mind the mud, and certainly looks like he moves up in it. He's run arguably his two biggest races on and off track, so that's got to give him a little bit of an edge, or at least a more serious look than he might have otherwise.
Keith DeSormo gives a leg up to his Hall of Fame brother, Kent DeSormo, knows a thing or two about winning races here in Maryland, and certainly knows how to win the Preakness. He's done it twice, with Real Quiet in 98 and Big Brown in 2008. He's also been second on three different occasions in this race, with Freehouse, Fusaichi Pegasus, and Sweet Northern Saint. So Kent, probably a great fit for this racetrack, and we know he's a great fit for Exaggerator. We'll see if he can turn the tables on Nyquist coming up later this afternoon. Don't forget that you can play the Twin Spires HRRN bet back on this afternoon's Preakness Stakes, and here's the way it works. You go to twinspires.com/HRRN, and you can do that right now. You have until post time of the Preakness. You're going to make a $7 win bet and a $7 show bet on one horse in the Preakness Stakes. That's a $14 total wager. If your horse finishes worse than third, you're going to lose your $14. But it doesn't matter, because Twin Spires will refund the entire $14 back into your account. So it's a no-risk $14 bet on the Preakness Stakes. Go there right now, twinspires.com
betonline.com/HRRN and play today.
It's a great bet. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. I told you very quickly we have to get to the break. We do have scratches. We'll pass those along in the second half of the program as we talk more about the Preakness. No scratches out of the Preakness, just a couple out of the Dixie. So we'll throw those your way here shortly. When we got here in Baltimore, as you know, every year I make it a point to wear my Pittsburgh Steeler cap when we come to Baltimore Raven country here. And got off the plane, went to baggage claim. You and Michelle stayed behind to get the bags. I went ahead and went to the rental car place. And as I walked out, you have to take a bus over to the rental car shuttle. And walked over. There wasn't really anybody in line for the shuttle. And the driver hopped off, and he looked at me, and he looked at my hat, and he said, okay. He said, two choices. He said, you can take the hat off, and I'll give you a ride. He said, or you can keep the hat on and walk. I chose option two. Well, not really. I'm embellishing. I didn't walk. It's a long walk.
We'd still be at the airport.
I didn't take the hat off either, though. He was very kind to let me on the bus and then immediately said, I can get you a Baltimore Raven cap.
Yeah.
That's when I smacked him upside the head. How about a cup of shit? Wait, what?
Where's Howie when you need him? Somebody have a cough button here? Oh Lord. Man. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was fun, though. But it's always, I've gotten a bunch of flack since I've been here, but that's okay. I wore it to the alibi breakfast in front of the Archbishop.
You even have the Archbishop against you. You don't want to mess with the Archbishop. Good Lord.
Hey, my uncle's a priest at Boston College. Yeah. I got a little street cred when it comes to that.
Well, he's got his work cut out for him.
All right, we are going to get to a short little break here. We're going to come back with hour two right off the bat. In about 2 minutes, you're going to hear that interview with Team Nyquist. Do not miss it. We're back with hour two right after this. We're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together, and Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby!
Brody's Paws at the 16th pole, chased by Kerry Wine. My man Sam running huge from last, but Brody's Paws in front. Brody's Paws for Luis Saez to win the Toyota Bluegrass.
And it's Mohamed who has taken the lead on the outside. Mohamed to the front, pulling away from Zulu Fellowship is third as Mohamed pulls away.
But Exaggerator is finishing with conviction this afternoon. Exaggerator, an absolutely brilliant victory in the Santa Anita Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com, live from Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore, Maryland, getting ready for the middle jewel of racing's Triple Crown, the Preakness Stakes, which comes up right around 6:45 Eastern this afternoon. Our undercard coverage beginning 2 o'clock Eastern will take you all the way through the Preakness right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, it is gray, it is raining, it is cold, temperatures only in the mid-50s, there's a bit of a breeze blowing, making it feel even a little bit cooler. The gates opened at 8:30 here at Pimlico, not the typical scene that you would see where everybody starts streaming in. The infield, I might see 10 people in the infield right now, which is highly unusual for this time of the morning, but no doubt the partygoers will head out here and get their preak on later this afternoon.
Yeah, well, I'm sure beer sales will be down, and porta potty usage will be up. It's kind of crazy out there. They just showed on the NBC feed that we're lucky enough to have in our booth a little cross section in front of the cupola where they paint the colors of the winner of the Preakness, and the rain is actually pretty driving out there. It's not exactly, we can't really see through the windows. We need windshield wipers on our windows here, but it's just kind of a blur. But the rain's driving down pretty hard out on the infield, so that's going to really, no pun intended, put a damper on things today. I think a lot of people will want to be undercover.
Yeah, you have to go back to the 1950s to find the last time we had consecutive Preakness Stakes run on an off track, and that's what we're looking at this year. You remember last year, American Pharoah splashed the victory here at Old Hilltop on way to winning the Triple Crown. We'll see if Nyquist can do the same. Don't forget to weigh in on our poll question at HRN on Twitter. You can email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net. We're going to give you three choices here. Who's going to win the Preakness? You got Kentucky Derby winner Nyquist, Kentucky Derby runner-up Exaggerator, or everyone else, the field. You got three choices. Weigh in right now at HRN on Twitter. Make sure you're following us there as well. All right, so we told you in the first half of the program that this has never been done before. Despite all of their success at Team O'Neill, Team Nyquist, whatever you want to call them, they have never taken the time to sit down for an interview together. And I'm talking about trainer Doug O'Neill, owner J. Paul Redham, and jockey Mario Gutierrez. Well, they did that earlier this week, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. Here it is, Team Nyquist.
Paul, let's start with you. When you hoisted that Derby trophy a couple of weeks ago at Churchill Downs, when you took the trophy, you held it up and you said, I'll have another. Of course, talking about your 2012 Kentucky Derby winner. How about another Preakness? That sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
That would sound good. I don't think I'll use that line again. But.
Let's talk about the name for a second, because I'll have another, if I'm not mistaken, was named after your wife's cookies, because you would often say, I'll have another. Is that true?
That's kind of true.
Okay.
It didn't have to be my wife's cookies. It was any cookies, actually. She could buy them at the store, and we'd lie on the couch watching television. Like, you want another cookie? I'll have another.
Nyquist, on the flip side of that, named for Gustav Nyquist of the Detroit Red Wings. You're a huge Red Wing fan. Tell me about that relationship and, of course, the name Nyquist.
Well, I've been a Red Wing fan since I was a little kid, 5 years old, and named a few horses after wings. They generally haven't been any good. But in this case, I'm partners with Eric Johnson, who plays for the Colorado Avalanche, in a couple horses, and I was teasing him that when he becomes a free agent, he should sign with the Wings. And he said, I am never signing with them. Are you crazy? And really gave me a lot of shtick about it. So I said, I'll fix you, and I named a couple horses after Wings, one of them being Nyquist. And then he wanted to buy into the horse really badly, and I said, I don't think so. That's a Red Wing. No shot.
Did you get a call after the race? From Nyquist?
He texted. He's in Russia playing for Sweden in the World Championships. And he his text said, well, he didn't think he could make the Preakness because the tournament is still going on, but he would for sure be at the Belmont. And I texted back and said, whoa, bucko, we got to get by the Preakness first. And told him that he might need a security detail if he goes to Belmont, if the horse is going for the Triple Crown, and he thought I was joking. I said, I'm not really joking.
Yeah.
Because if you're Nyquist and you're there to see Nyquist, I think that'd be pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So tell me about sitting there at Churchill Downs, watching Nyquist come through the stretch and give you that second Derby victory. What was that like? Put me there with you.
Well, when the horses broke out of the gate, we were down by the rail, and Mario went zinging by, and Dancing Candy went zinging by at the same time. And I first thought was, uh-oh. And then I looked up at the board and saw 22-2. And then I went, oh, I don't, just thinking this isn't good. And when he was able to let Dancing Candy go in the clubhouse turn, I felt really confident that we were in a good spot. And when the horses got separation, there was Dancing Candy, Gunrunner, and Nyquist going into the far turn, I thought, we're in great shape here. And at that point, I really thought we were winning. And at the head of the stretch, when he took the lead, to me, the race was basically over. And then it was, I did let myself yell and scream. So,
as you should. As a kid growing up in Ontario, Canada, could you ever imagine you'd be sitting here as a two-time Kentucky Derby winner?
I couldn't imagine sitting here as a one-time Kentucky participant, let alone winner-winner chicken dinner. Right? No, for me, it was a thrill having my first racehorse, who was a maiden claimer and went off 99-1 at Santa Anita, and just hearing his name announced, I couldn't imagine that I would ever be part of that. So I think I'm leading somebody else's life right now.
Doug, how about you? A kid growing up in Michigan, could you ever imagine that you're sitting here in this position, two Kentucky Derbies under your belt?
Never. You know, when Jude allowed me to work for him right out of high school, I was just, at that time, it was 7 days a week, and Jude paid well as far as trainers went, but still, hot walkers don't get paid a lot, and I was the happiest, you know, a person could be. I thought just being able to work alongside with the horses and get paid a little bit to do it, it was great, and I can't imagine, it's unreal to think that, you know, being part of Team Redham and Team Mario, that we've got two Derby wins under our belt and being in Baltimore here with the hope of maybe a second Preakness.
I know you've heard this a lot over the past couple of weeks, but Doug O'Neill, two-time Kentucky Derby winning trainer. When you hear those words, what comes to mind immediately?
God, it's just like I'm going to wake. I don't want to wake up, you know. I don't want to wake up and have a real job. So it's incredible, and again, just being around the great Nyquist, he's once in a lifetime type of horse, and he's just the way he handles himself, his presence. Mario could speak on this probably more than me, but around the barn, he's just an absolute total professional, and you know, he's a picture perfect equine athlete.
Mario, what's that presence like?
It's just his energy, I believe, you know, like the way he presents himself. You go, like, it will be hard to explain, but, I mean, for the whole team, they will get to spend a lot of time with him, you know, like, pretty much on a daily basis, you know, like, his attitude, the way, it's very hard not to feel his energy, you know, like, the calmness that he possesses, even the way he approached the races, you know, like, it's always, his demeanor is so calm, you know, but it's not like sleepy, it's like, he lets you know that he's there, at the same time, he's very calm, so it will be very hard to describe, but I think that's the way he's present.
So much like I asked Paul and I asked Doug, you're a kid growing up in Veracruz, Mexico. You're riding match races. Your dad's a jockey. If I had told you back then that you were going to be sitting here having won two Kentucky Derbies, the most famous horse race in the world, what would you have said to me?
Oh, well, probably, I don't know what I would say that day. You'll probably think you were kidding. I'd probably be so excited, you know, because I love horses so much. But, yeah, no, it's just unbelievable.
Well, not only have you won the Derby twice, but you've never lost the Kentucky Derby. You're 2 for 2. What's the secret?
I think the horse is the secret. You know, I think I'm very, very lucky I was able to approach the Kentucky Derby with two amazing animals. You know, like the way I'll have another is, like in the way Nyquist is. I think they're both talented, beyond talented, and that's why I think I was able to give the performance that I was able to provide that day.
Put me in the saddle with you in the Kentucky Derby. You're coming down the stretch on Nyquist. Describe and compare that feeling you had with I'll Have Another when you cross the finish line to the feeling you had with Nyquist when you cross the finish line.
You know what? It was a very, very different feeling. You know, like I always believe in I'll Have Another, right? But at the same time, I was just happy to beat in the race. I do believe that I got like a good horse to compete, you know, but it was my first time, and I believe like I listened to a lot of hype, you know. There was horses that were more like, they had more hype than my horse, you know. So going to the race, choosing the stretch, you know, I look at the front and I saw Bodymeister being like so far away from me. And I started like asking I'll Have Another to go. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to finish second, you know. And I was really happy at that time. And then, you know, I can feel getting closer to Bodymeister and getting more closer, and I can see the wire is still a bit far away from us. And I was like, oh my God. And then I really got excited. Then I really got excited. I started riding, screaming, and as I was getting more close to him and I passed by him, I thought the race was over. You know, I kind of wanted to stand up a little bit, and I saw the wire, and I kind of, you can see it in the replay, you know, you'll see what I'm talking about. And then I kick home, like, and then I'll pass the wire. And it was like all those emotions at once, you know. First of all, being really happy to finish second, and then getting really excited because I got the opportunity to cut up the Bodymeister. And then, like, kind of like I didn't even believe myself that I actually won the Kentucky Derby. That was my first Kentucky Derby experience. And with Nyquist, like, you know, coming home, like, in the stretch, I handicapped the race, and I know there's at least four horses that they're like known for being close, like charging late. So like I let my horse go, and then he just went on, you know. And then I was you know, when you're riding the horses, you kind of feel if somebody's coming, you know, kind of feel the energy. And I didn't feel that, you know. And I kind of look around and I couldn't feel it. And I look again, I didn't feel anybody coming. And I was like, come on, somebody has to come. And at one point, I just really took a good look. And then and I see nobody coming. And I saw the wire and I can feel the speed of Nyquist. And I know that. Like pretty much at that time, I was confident that I was going to win the race.
I remember after you won with I'll Have Another, you and I had a chance to sit down and talk like this, and you said that you weren't going to get used to all the success because it's probably not going to last forever. How about now? Are you starting to kind of get used to things a little bit?
I think I'm more ready and mature, I believe, you know, to deal with this kind of stuff. I don't believe I was kind of ready. Like, I think I was young and everything was hitting me, like all this stuff like hit me at once, so I think I'm more prepared to be able to deal with this kind of success.
All right, so I've never viewed this as Team O'Neill, so to speak. I viewed it as more of a family, and I don't know if you guys look at it like that or not, but Paul, let's start with you. Why does this relationship and this dynamic work?
Well, first of all, every family's got an ugly member, right?
Tom Canucks. Tom's not here to defend himself.
Tom is Mario's agent.
Sure.
I think that we as a group have really come a long way, and we have confidence in one another. And certainly over the last 4 years, we've had successes and failures, and you really learn a lot about a person's character with how they deal with failure. And I'm with two really classy characters here. And they're very disciplined. They know what they want to do. And then they just do it. And we're at the point where we can all talk honestly with one another about what we see, both with the horses, the condition book, competition, etc. And I think that that's been really helpful. And really through the whole year, we've been all on the same wavelength, and we've had a great last 12 months have been absolutely unreal. You know?
Doug, why does it work?
Well, I think it works because Paul and Zilla are so loyal. I mean, they have Mario and my back and the other trainers' backs big time. And I think Paul just really lays out the environment that you can, as a team, enjoy the whole process and not worry about the outcome. We want to win every race, of course, but when we don't win, we learn from it, and Paul is the first one there to say, what can we do next time to make it better? So I think, you know, when horses are surrounded by happy horsemen and people that are enjoying the process and not worrying about the outcome, I think you get good results. And I think, like Paul said, the last year, it's really been a strong Team Redham group, and it's we're seeing a lot better results consistently.
Mario, how about for you?
The same way, you know, like I do believe that Mr. Redham allows me and Doug, you know, as a trainer, and me as a jockey, you know, like to be able to have confidence. You know, usually in horse racing, it's very rare that you see this kind of connection. So, you know, like as a jockey, most of the jockeys were worried more about losing the mount, you know. So, and with the support that Mr. Redham provides for us, you know, it's like, you know, we can be more truthful, you know, I perform better, you know, like knowing that I'm not a perfect jockey, you know, I will make a mistake here and there, you know, but I know that the team will have my back, that Mr. Redham will have my back. I remember so many, you know, not last year, but these years that I was having kind of like a tough time to win races, you know, he'll call me up and be, you know what, it's okay, we're I keep buying more horses, you know, buying more horses, we're going to do all right. It's gonna get better. You know, so like that kind of confidence, and especially in our sport, I think that's unbelievable. You won't see it.
Paul, obviously with the horses that you have, you could have any trainer that you want. Why Doug O'Neill?
I could.
Yeah. I think we're running out of time. So the studio saying we got to cut this here.
I think that's where you're supposed to say something nice about Doug O'Neill.
Well, Doug has trained for us for it's 12 years now, and I have enjoyed our relationship immensely. We have a lot of fun. We have a lot of laughs. It's serious business, too. And I think Doug finally has the confidence that he can pretty much do anything, and if it goes wrong, it's okay. He's not going to get fired. He doesn't need to worry. Mario's right. There's a lot of insecurity in the business, and people are always changing dance partners, and our approach is just the opposite. So even on Saturday, if something goes wrong and we get beat, you know, we'll suck it up and we'll go, all right, what did we learn from that? And we're going to get back here again and be determined to win next time. And to have, I think it's important for everybody in the group to be able to make a mistake and know that that's okay. And if you're, so as a rider, if you're worried about you're going to lose the mount, you're thinking too much, right? You just got to go out there and it just should happen naturally. And we talk about strategy beforehand, but when they break the gate, he's got to do what he's got to do, right? So he might have a plan, but there's got to be ability to change that plan and not worry that he's going to come back and that somebody's going to go Bobby Franco on him. And Doug, to me, what they talk a lot about Team O'Neill, and it sounds like a lot of, you know, rah-rah nonsense, but it actually is an unbelievable unit. And the guys that are working with Doug, for the most part, they were around 4 years ago when you go to his barn, and that says something about him as a trainer, because underneath, people are always changing, second trainers, grooms, et cetera. And you go into the O'Neill barn, and everybody knows their role, and he respects each and every role. And that is just that's the epitome of running a top show the way he does.
So what's different this time around, going down this road together again, as opposed to in 2012? Doug, what's different?
I think just 2012 was such a blur, for me at least. You know, and like Mario touched on, though All Have Another did some amazing things prior to the Kentucky Derby, and in the morning he did stuff that wowed all of us. We still went in thinking, reading a lot of the press, like, we're kind of an outsider here, but we're going to show them. But I don't think we really felt it. And going into this year's Kentucky Derby, we all felt it. I mean, this is our race. Anything can happen. They're not machines, but we felt that this was our race. He was giving us the signs. He was talking to us. He was going to kick some butt. And then, you know, and then to come into Baltimore with the Derby winner, you know, they roll out the red carpet for you. And it just, I think this go around, you're just trying to enjoy the process as much as we can. And it's easy to enjoy when he's doing good. We all feel great. And right now he's doing really well. So it leaves us a lot of optimism for Saturday, and we're enjoying the process.
Yeah, and you were so close at that chance to running for a Triple Crown in 2012. We know that I'll Have Another had to be scratched when he got hurt the day before the race. How difficult was that when you had to take him out, Paul?
Well, under the circumstances, that's what we had to do. But it kind of came out of nowhere because 2 days earlier, we felt like he was definitely going to win. He showed all the signs, and my feeling was, gee, if we could survive that, we could pretty much survive anything in horse racing. And I think Doug especially really bounced out of that much better than I would have thought, because as a trainer, I mean, look, it affects the owner, it affects the jockey, but the trainer is there every day. You know, like raising a child almost, right, when you get these horses.
There's a few empty beer cans around my bed the next morning.
Right, but you know, and I've told this to people before, but after it happened, people say, don't worry about it. You'll get back here again. Are you crazy? Right? That's not 4-5 to win the Triple Crown. Yeah. That is, thanks for those nice comments, but that's not happening. And you know, I don't want to get past Saturday, but it's possible again. And I think that one thing that's really come out is we thought with All Have Another we had a good horse and that we could win, but we really didn't think that happened to us. That happens to the Phippses. It doesn't happen
correct.
To the O'Neills, Gutierrez, and Redham. But after it actually happened, now we know, it does happen to people like us. And and so the confidence of the unit was, it helps to have a Nyquist also, but of the group is very strong. And I think the horse feeds off it, and then in turn, the people feed off the horse, so we're in a good spot.
I 100% agree. Yeah, it's you know, that was a tough moment, and but you know, it was like Paul said, it just makes you know, here we are to think that we might have a chance if we can get by Saturday to go into New York with a second chance. It's it's going to be a lot better than 2012, if that's possible. You know, it's going to be it's already been just a great journey and a great experience, and so.
Mario, it's never easy on the jockey either, and that had to be difficult for you to get over. Does it make you now want to get back there and give it another go even more?
You know, as a jockey, yeah, it was tough. You know, like what happened to us, it was definitely tough. But like I say, I think that it speaks a lot. It has now, like we can say that it speaks a lot about like Doug and Mr. Redham. You know, like now we can show the people, show the fans of horse racing, the people that is not a hardcore horse racing fan. You know that we have in the business trainers and owners like Mr. Redham that we truly care about the horses. You know that they will do anything and for the horse best interest. You know, I think that's the message that we can now, you know, tell people. And I want to get there, you know, but at the same time, I don't want to force anything, you know. Like Mr. Redham said, we don't want to look over past Saturday, but, you know, we're 100% confident, you know, and if everything goes well on Saturday, I believe that the whole team is really prepared and very mature to go towards the last race.
Will any of you still have a few butterflies on Saturday when Nyquist loads into the gate?
I will. If you don't, you should get out of it, right?
Hopefully not Mario too much. But I just want to add one more thing to the previous comments, which is that Doug has showed that he is a world-class trainer. Wow. And, you know, last time there was all – he's a great interview, so there was a lot of nonsense that went on around him personally. And thank goodness people are past that, I believe, and can see that this is a world-class trainer.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. It's we got a world-class team, that's for sure, surrounded by a lot of great horsemen that I'm so blessed they all enjoy like they did on day one of being at the barn, and it's a great environment, and like they say, show me your friends, I'll show you your future, and Nyquist has got a lot of great friends, and his future looks bright.
And a world-class jockey, too, in Mario Gutierrez. Yeah. Mario, no butterflies when you go in the gate. Calm nerves on Saturday.
Yeah, no, and I think I feed off a lot from Nyquist. You know, I think that's why, like, you know, I don't feel like, you know, I think I'm lucky too with my personality. You know, I'm able to, like, you know, by the time I get on Nyquist and I know it's time to get to the track, you know, it's very easy for me just to focus on him and the race. So, like I said, I feed a lot of him. So I'm very lucky to be able to ride him.
Well, guys, I can't thank you enough for spending some time here. Really do appreciate the visit. Great stuff. All the best on Saturday. Get it done. And hopefully we can talk before the Belmont.
Love you, Mike, but we're doing this because of Jude. If it went for Jude, I'd be flipping burgers. So love you, Jude.
Great stuff, guys. Thank you, Mike. Thanks so much. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
Trainer Doug O'Neill, his signature tagline now. If it wasn't for Jude Fella, I'd be flipping burgers. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Well, Doug, you know, he's the greatest, and he always gives me credit for his success, whether it's deserved or not. Probably not, but he's very generous about that, and I appreciate it.
How much fun was that interview?
It was awesome, and I was so glad that I didn't attend. I didn't attend it on purpose because I was afraid to laugh too much, and it was really funny as I was listening to it because Doug's laugh seems to be a lot like mine, and
he's picked up a little bit.
It was really interesting, but it's much better coming from him than me because sometimes I get to feeling too good and I start cracking up. So it was great. You did a great job. It was an awesome interview, some excellent questions, and Mr. Redham, how great was he? How articulate and thoughtful and just awesome, really.
Yeah, a great time with those three and an easy team to cheer for this afternoon in the Preakness Stakes. Of course, Nyquist looking to take that next step toward becoming yet another Triple Crown winner in the sport of thoroughbred racing. My thanks to Doug O'Neill, to Paul Redham, and to jockey Mario Gutierrez. It is time now for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. This is a cool story. Old friends try first classic with Uncle Lino. Two racetrack kids from P-Town are trying to spoil the ExpressBet.com Preakness Stakes. Their paths split at times over the years, but the friends From way back at Amador Valley High School, two sons of Northern California jockeys raised in the fair track town of Pleasanton, California, are in Baltimore with long shot Uncle Lino for their first classics run, of course, this afternoon. The trainer is 70-year-old Gary Sherlock, a former quarter horse conditioner at Los Alamitos, who gave up on the nighttime grind in 1980 to dabble in thoroughbreds. The owner is Tom Mansour, who decided to claim a few horses with Sherlock 5 years ago before landing the Uncle Mo colt for $52,000 as a yearling in 2014. Really cool story, and we'll see if Uncle Lino can pull off a bit of a shocker later on today in the 141st Preakness Stakes. That is your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, head on over to bloodhorse.com. And don't forget to check out Blood Horse Daily, briefing you on important breeding, racing, and sales news. Sign up to have a PDF emailed to you in a daily newsletter or download the app on your smartphone today. You can do that, bloodhorse.com/daily. And we're back to visit with Max Hodge from Fasig Tipton right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Justin Phillip, a blue blood sprinter whose first crop had been highly acclaimed at the sales by the exciting young sire First Samurai and a half-brother to three other graded stakes winners, including Algorithms and Grade 1 winning Kentucky Derby prospect Greenpoint Crusader. Justin Phillip made 32 lifetime starts, 23 in graded stakes, with 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better.
And Justin Phillip will do it! He was a monster in the mud!
And Justin Phillip will prove best in the Cal Fleet Sprint.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
With first crop foals bringing up to $110,000 at the 2015 fall sales, Justin Phillip had a weanling sales average of more than $50,000, and he stands for a value price stud fee of only $5,000. Justin Phillip at Castleton Lions. Are you a believer? Visit CastletonLions.com.
And they're off in New York. The premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Kirkwood Stables has a long and storied history of producing and selling winners at the highest level.
Alphabet Soup has scored a shocking upset.
And Memories of Silver draws clear.
Soaring softly, the queen of the American green.
Flying Pretty holds on to the oaks.
It is Winter Memories, victorious again.
Visit this year's Kirkwood consignments at the upcoming OBS March and April sales. Kirkwood Stables, proven success. Learn more at kirkwoodstables.com.
Looking for a printing company who's fast enough to keep up with the thoroughbred industry? Well, look no further. Copy Express has been meeting the needs of the thoroughbred industry for over 30 years with award-winning quality print jobs, including stallion brochures, sales cards, hip cards, postcards, and letterhead, just to name a few. Whether you're a large farm or a one-man crew, Copy Express is here for you. Located in the horse country of Lexington, Kentucky, call 859-255-2679 or visit them at copyexpresslex.com.
Claiborne Farms Flatter is carrying the flag for AP Indy, rewarding breeders in the sales ring and on the track. A sire of world-class racehorses, including multiple Grade 1 winner-turned sire Flat Out, and 2016 stars like Upstart, Terrace, and Kobe's Back. He's delivering in the auction ring as well, with yearlings selling for up to $550,000. Flatter at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
equine.
Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy.
Stephanie's Kitten and Erod Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
A champion sire and producer of three Grade 1 winners in 2015.
Chiropractor March Chiropractor in a driving finish here over March.
With more than $11 million in progeny earnings this year.
Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
With Nyquist, like, I handicapped the race, and I know there's at least four horses that they're like known for charging late. You know, when you ride into horses, you kind of feel if somebody's coming, you know, kind of feel the energy, and I didn't feel that, you know. And I kind of look around and couldn't feel it. I look again, didn't feel anybody coming. And I was like, come on, somebody has to come. And at one point, I just really took a good look. And then and I see nobody coming, and I saw the wire, and I can feel the speed of Nyquist, and I know that, like pretty much at that time, I was confident that I was going to win the race.
Baron and Pontiff, that's Mike Penna and Jude Feld, back with you at Old Hilltop. A rainy start to this Preakness Saturday, and not expected to get much better as the temperatures have plummeted from what we saw here on Black Eyed Susan Day yesterday, only in the mid-50s, a bit of a breeze blowing, which makes it feel a little colder, and that rain continuing to fall, and it will do so throughout the afternoon as we get closer to Preakness 141. Now, you heard Mario Gutierrez, the full interview, just a short time ago, and then that little clip coming out of the commercial break talking about his ride on Nyquist in the Kentucky Derby 2 weeks ago. Well, Nyquist, a graduate of the Fasig Tipton two-year-old sale at Gulfstream Park. Of course, because of that, he had the opportunity to race for $1 million bonus in the Florida Derby this year, which he successfully added to his bankroll. And now he's here looking to win the middle jewel of horse racing's Triple Crown. And we're joined now by Fasig Tipton's Max Hodge. Max, first of all, congratulations on Nyquist, man. What a run 2 weeks ago in Louisville.
Oh, thanks very much. That was a big deal for us. We extremely excited about selling another Kentucky Derby winner. There's no other sales company out there that sold more Kentucky Derby winners than us. So we're pulling for another Fasig Tipton Triple Crown winner today.
Yeah, and an Eclipse Champion two-year-old. Yeah, you mentioned another one, American Pharaoh, also a Fasig Tipton sales grad. So really, things all clicking on all cylinders for Fasig Tipton, my friend.
You know, they really are. We're over here at Timonium. We've got, after scratches, we've got about 500 horses here to sell on Monday and Tuesday. It's a sale that's got a long history of producing top-class horses. This year, we've got Dortmund on the cover. We've also had Materiality on there and Kaigan. And you go back through the years, and horses like Vijack and Thorn Song and Misdirection. And so there's a real opportunity to come over here and buy some horses Monday and Tuesday that are going to do some great things.
Well, that sale's always full of diamonds in the rough, kind of, so to speak. And a lot of people love that Maryland sale. It's a nice ending to Preakness week, and everybody's pumped up from the Triple Crown. And hopefully this year will be much more the same, even though you've had some weather issues to overcome this week.
Yeah, I think it's going to clear up later today. You guys have been a little too negative on all this weather. The skies are going to part. And
have you come out here yet?
Are you looking at what we're looking at?
It's not raining at Timonium.
It's always sunny in 75 at Timonium.
No, it's a great day to hunker down in the morning and maybe do a little handicap, and you can watch some videos. We have we had the Under Tack Show on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday earlier this week. We had some good days, good safe track, fair and consistent for all. Videos are up online, and you could also come over here and watch them. We have a tent set up with for replay, and another thing that's over here that you might want to come over and check out is this new OTB that they put in the grandstand, and it is absolutely phenomenal. It's worth the trip over just to check that out.
Yeah, and you think about the success of that sale, and Max, you touched on some of the big names that Fasig Tipton has produced in the two-year-old and training sale, but you think about 19 of the current top 20 ranked stallions on this year's general sire list are represented in the catalog. So you have the pedigree power. In 2015 and so far in 2016, that mid-Atlantic sale has produced winners or placed horses in 115 stakes races to date. So, you know, you talk about the quality, you talk about the performance, and I always say, hey, the proof's in the pudding. You know, that you're getting results, and that speaks volumes.
It sure does. And, you know, they're, at this point in time, you can look down the shed row, and if you need a two-year-old, you come right over here and get one that's not too far away from the starting gate. You had, you know, several work 3/8. You get quarter-mile workers. They're ready to go on. And just looking down the index of state breds, we've got them from everywhere from Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, New Jersey, a lot of New York breds, PA breds. So there's really something for everybody in all budgets here. There'll be horses that you know, bring a few thousand dollars up to several hundred thousand. So it's a good entry point for the racing and a good way to get instant return.
Yeah, it's not just about Nyquist and the Preakness today when we're talking about Fasig Tipton grads. You also are represented by Awesome Speed, who is a two-year-old sale grad and a three-time stakes winner. So you have a couple of opportunities to add another classic winner to the Fasig Tipton family.
We sure do, and, you know, it looks like he's an awesome again and a good chance for a Fasig Tipton exacta today in the Preakness.
Well, it should be good. Of course, the race coming up 6:45 Eastern, probably go right around 6:50 Eastern time. You're going to hear it with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network in partnership with NBC Sports and with Westwood One. Max Hodge joining us from Fasig Tipton. Max, look ahead to the rest of the summer. What are we going to see from Fasig Tipton? I know, obviously, the Saratoga sale is one that's on everybody's radar, but what else can people expect?
Well, we're just putting the finishing touches on our Kentucky July yearling sale, as well as the Saratoga selected sale and the New York bred sale. So those will be going to press really soon, and we're extremely happy with the group we have committed to us. Year in, year out, they go on to produce really, you know, the highest rated sales there are for percentage of stakes winners and graded stakes winners. Another thing we do in July in Kentucky in conjunction with the yearling sale is the Horses of Racing Age sale. So we will begin assembling that catalog very soon. And, you know, you look at the horses that come out of there, including Walville Avenue, to go on to win a Breeders' Cup. She was only $60,000 in there. So that's another opportunity to come in and get in the game.
Yeah, well, it's really great to be able to buy ready-made horses. And a lot of people are looking for racing prospects at that time of year.
Yeah, it's something we started a few years ago, and it's gotten legs, and it's a great time in the calendar. A lot of racing in transition from, you know, New York, they're going up, transitioning to Saratoga, and California to Del Mar, and they have that ship and win incentives. So it's a great time to come out and buy one and take one out there you know, get a quick return.
Max Hodge, like all of our guests who appear on the Equine Forum, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. Max, as always, really do appreciate the time, appreciate all of the support of what we do here on the network. Of course, Fasig Tipton, the sponsor, longtime sponsor of our Trainer Talk program, which folks can hear every single Wednesday night on Sirius 220 and XM 206 and podcast on our website at horseracingradio.net. Can't thank you enough for that support, and all the best here at that Mid-Atlantic sale.
All right. Thank you, guys, and good luck today.
Yeah, good luck in the Preakness,
too.
Go Nyquist, go Awesome Speed for Fasig Tipton.
Yeah, it's a couple of nice horses, huh?
Yeah. Well, like you said, that could be a Fasig Tipton exacta.
Yeah, that would be cool for them.
they could shout that from the rooftops.
They're in rarefied air, but you almost don't know whether you want to, you know, say they've had good luck this year or not. They had to pay out $1 million tonight for that bonus.
Yeah, that's right, too. Yeah, well, I'm sure that they were happy to pay that one out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and think about what that does for that sale next year.
Yeah.
And in the years, if they keep that bonus involved.
Right.
Right? I mean,
right,
now so it's proven that it can be done.
Yeah. Yeah, that really is a good thing. And, you know, it's very, very generous of them. But it made all the difference this year. You know, Nyquist pointed to that race specifically for that bonus.
Right, correct.
And kind of changed the face of what may have been. Otherwise, he probably would have stayed in California if there wasn't that bonus involved.
Boy, I can't understand why Doug O'Neill is going with a 7-furlong return race and then a mile and an eighth and then a mile and a quarter. It makes no sense to me.
Absolutely none whatsoever. That's what I don't understand. I just don't understand people sometimes.
All right, we're going to get to another commercial break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Johnny D from ExpressBet. You won't want to miss that. He's always a lot of fun. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later. Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Ready for a new way to play the races? RacehorseDraft.com is the daily fantasy horse racing game offering new tournaments every day for both the novice and avid horse racing fan. Play multiple races for one entry fee while playing for points with no complicated gimmicks or handicapping. Play your favorite jockey or racetrack and compete in survivor pools, head-to-head, free games, and small or large money tournaments. RacehorseDraft.com, fantasy horse racing where you win with your skill. Visit RacehorseDraft.com and play today.
On Saturday, June 4th, Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse is proud to present the fourth running of the $500,000 Grade 3 Penn Mile. Live racing action starts at 6 p.m. Eastern with an all-stakes pick four featuring the Pennsylvania Governor's Cup, the Penn Oaks, the Mountain View Stakes, and it's all anchored by the Penn Mile. Again, that's Saturday, June 6th at 6 p.m. Eastern at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Grade 1 millionaire Cowboy Cow is leading the third crop sire by two-year-old winners with a dozen juvenile winners already this year. His runners have earned nearly $2 million, and his sire is a greater percentage of winners than nearly any other stallion in his crop, including Pioneer of the Nile. Cowboy Cow, a grand-looking son of Giant's Causeway, standing at Penn Oak Stud.
Racing fans, Ken Nyquist follow up on his big win in the Kentucky Derby with another Triple Crown victory in the Preakness Stakes on Saturday. Join the fun and watch the Preakness right here at the Great Race Place. Admission gates open at 8 a.m. and first live race post time is at 12 noon with the Grade 2 Kona Gold Stakes heading our local betting menu. Check out our Preakness trackside package and our infield Preakness party now at santaanita.com/events. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
problems. But Stradivari is under no stress for Johnny V at the top of the stretch and just keeps widening the margin here. Four lengths, five lengths, Stradivari in front. Siding spring, no distortion, then Pinson in fourth at the eighth pole. Quick peek there by Velasquez over his shoulder. And he says it's finished. Final furlong. Look at Stradivari. Hasn't been asked for a thing and just has a cakewalk here in Keeneland's second race. Long way back to that battle for second. That is where Pinson rallied up from the outside to grab the second spot, followed closely across the line by Siding Spring, who was toward the inside, and also no distortion. It'll be a photo for show between that pair.
Oh, Kurt Becker with the call of Stradivari just dominating that allowance race at Keeneland last time out. That was on April 17th. Stradivari won the race by 14 lengths. Now you say, okay, great, he freaked that day. Well, in his previous start at Gulfstream Park, he broke his maiden by 11 lengths. So his last two victories coming by a combined 25 lengths, and he's hoping for, as Kurt Becker called it, a cakewalk. He's hoping for another cakewalk later today in the Preakness. But let me tell you, the water's a bit deeper, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, no pun intended if you see the river running along the rail here. Yeah, nobody knows cakewalks like Kurt Becker, the master of the Illinois Fair Circuit. you know, Stradivari's an interesting horse. I mean, he's arguably one of the two horses that hasn't big chance to upset. He's got a very high ceiling, as we talked about earlier. He's got ability and he has great connections, and we don't know how good he is. He might be the greatest horse that ever lived, but he's going to have to prove it today.
Well, he's going to be ridden by Johnny V, John Velasquez. We are now joined by Johnny D of ExpressBet.com. Johnny, first of all, happy Preakness Day. How good is Stradivari? Can he really pull off an upset here today?
What are you asking me for? I don't know.
You got to break some eggs.
Hey, he couldn't have been any more impressive in his two wins. Just absolutely wonderful races. The 11 hole that he drew in this race actually could end up being a positive, because it seems like he has enough speed to be close up, but he doesn't have to fight for the lead, I don't think. It's awfully hard to – we don't see this kind of horse come along very often that wins his maiden by 11 at Gulfstream and then goes up to Keeneland and then dominates a field by almost 15 there. We don't see this kind of horse very often, and so we don't know what to do with him as handicappers. I think I agree with exactly what you said. Is he the greatest horse that ever lived? If he is, then he'll win today. But the odds of that happening are pretty small. He's going to face much tougher horses than he's ever seen before. I have to lean against him as far as winning the race. If he's really talented, he could be in the superfecta. But you know, this race just looks. The only thing wrong with Nyquist that I can tell is that he came the year after American Pharoah. That's really the only thing he's done wrong.
Yeah, well, he's a horse that is a lot like American Pharoah in that he covers a lot of ground. He's maybe not the most majestic looking horse that ever lived. I think now American Pharoah, his press notices have made him a lot more handsome. Just like Wayne Hughes likes to say that he looks really good when he's sitting on his wallet. They're very similar horses. They're average looking horses with magnificent strides, big hearts, and a lot of talent. So Nyquist, he does have that kind of like second fiddle aura about him, and it's only because of American Pharoah.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Also, a similar is the running styles. American Pharoah could take the lead, or he could sit. I think he had a little more early gas than Nyquist, but Nyquist has that same ability to take the lead or to sit, and he's going to have to use that. That kind of strategy today, because there's quite a bit of speed in this race. But that high cruising speed is what they share. And for me, American Pharoah, even in his workouts, he just had a way of gliding, gliding over the track. This horse moves beautifully. But American Pharoah, for me, when I first saw him move, I said, wow, this guy is something special. And he just kept going. But now we've got this undefeated horse, and, you know, you look at him, and he hasn't done anything wrong. The juvenile, Breeders' Cup Juvenile, was a tremendous performance, and he hasn't stopped. So, I mean, I suppose, you know, we all know that horse racing, they have to run the race. And with the sloppy track and other speed, a lot of things can happen. But if you look at it on paper, Nyquist and Exaggerator are the two best horses. Are they going to finish 1-2? Well, it never works out that way.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Johnny. On paper, you're right. Those are the two horses, and they're going to be the two horses that are going to get bet the most. They'll be the two favorites. If, let's say, for whatever reason, that Nyquist and Exaggerator don't run their race today, who's the most likely horse to run a monster race and pull off a bit of a shocker here at Old Hilltop?
Well, I think you have to consider a couple scenarios. If it gets hot and crazy up front, or, you know, obviously Uncle Lino from the two-hole has to go. And he's a fast horse. He's a fast California horse with, I believe, some quality. He's not a throw-out speed horse. He's going to hang around for a while. He hung around in the Santa Anita Derby for third on a sloppy track. So, you know, Uncle Lino's going to set good pace. You also know that that Laoban has to go. Collected's got some speed. Stradivari's going to have to move a little bit from the outside to try and get over. I don't think he wants to make the lead, but he wants to get over. Awesome Speed has a little bit of speed. So what happens in front of Nyquist is going to make your scenario, you know, as you try and handicap the race and try and figure out how it's run, is it going to set up for a closer? If that's the case, you know, a horse like Cherry Wine, who's already proven he can handle the off track, who seems to be in pretty good shape, maybe was fortunate to was forced to skip the Derby. Maybe that was a stroke of good luck because he had some extra time and he got to prepare for this race. He's moving forward at the time, getting better. But he's a deep closer, so it has to set up for him. He has to get fortunate so the guys up front really go fast. And if that happens, you know, I could kind of see him at a big price, you know, kind of clunking up for second, third, or fourth in your superfectas. And I think that's how I have to play the race as a horse player today, is I have to find somebody other than Exaggerator to be second if I believe Nyquist is going to win. And then I'll throw in a little chaos ticket and put Nyquist underneath just in case, who knows, you know, just in case racing happens.
Don't forget, you can follow Johnny D, John DeSantis, at expressbet.com. Johnny, just about a minute or so left before we have to wrap this one up. What can folks expect when they go to expressbet.com in addition to your analysis and your selections?
Well, right now we have a Preakness wagering guide available, and it's free, and it's worth twice the price, by the way. You can get that, and we've updated the guide. So we originally published it last Friday, but we updated it this Friday, and we have expert opinions, analysis, suggested $100 wagering strategies. We've got some great experts in there. We've got seven experts giving their opinions of the race. We've got stats and trends that are absolutely incredible. I mean, if you want to know how horses who've skipped the Derby have done in the Preakness, that stat is there. If you want to know how horses who won the Derby came back in the Preakness, I think we're working on almost 50% winners under that scenario in the last 25 years or something like that. But all those stats are inside the guide. It's a great resource. I know you've already done some of your handicapping. And things like that at expressbet.com. But the best thing is, if you want to wager on the races and you want to watch replays and you want to watch the races live, it's the best place to go and do that. And it's online. It's on your mobile device, your phone. I've lost more money on the golf course this year to the horses than I have to other golfers.
It's easy to do at expressbet.com. I use it all the time. Great on my phone. Really easy to do. And we'd encourage everybody to head over there right now, sign up, and bet the Preakness at expressbet.com. Johnny, appreciate it, my friend. Enjoy the day and knock them dead at the windows.
Well, thank you very much. It was great seeing you guys. And the good thing about racing is, as I experienced yesterday, I was right once out of 14 times and broke even. So that's not a bad day.
All right. I want to thank all of our special guests for joining us here today, including Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds, Max Hodge, Johnny D, and Team Nyquist for taking the time to do that interview with us. Been a lot of fun here, JT. We're back at 2 o'clock Eastern with all of our Preakness coverage going all the way through Preakness 141. A podcast of this show going to be available at horseracingradio.net.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun doing this show, and good luck to everybody on the Preakness.
For our producers, Lee Delapina and Sean C., for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. Hey, go Steelers!
Good night, Barbados.